Lord willing, most of our study this week in the Gospel of Mark, that'll mostly be in the evening meetings, is concentrated in the last week of Christ's ministry on earth before his crucifixion. We'll lead up to that briefly, but then we're going to run into the triumphal entry just days before. We celebrate that on the Sunday before his crucifixion, the Sunday before resurrection. And there's some miracles, there's a lot of teaching, there's some confrontation, there's challenges that take place as the opposition arises more fiercely against him. But the atmosphere, the tone of the city is exciting, as it had been for hundreds of years and thousands of years prior. It was another year where the multitudes would come on their pilgrimage for Passover, the highlights of their year, and they would line the roads leading into Jerusalem, pilgrims. We might call them campers, because they were just nowhere to stay, nowhere to live, no hotels, no room in the inn. And so they would just line the roads and the villages surrounding, and they would crowd in the cities. And there was a lot of commotion, and there was a lot of excitement. And many were there in awe and wonder of what was taking place. We'll see some of the negative side of that as well. Almost a bazaar, B-A-Z, like flea market, bazaar type atmosphere. The selling and the bargaining and the sacrifices and the offerings and the singing and the music and the pomp and the circumstance and the priests and the scribes and the Levites and the Pharisees that would be just kind of mingling and working through the crowds, and the people stepping back, and just a lot of things that are going on that would just be an exciting time, if you can imagine some of the most chaotic, maybe Super Bowl week in whatever city. We had it down the street from where we live just a couple years ago MetLife Stadium, and there's just this buzz. So this was going on there, and there was a small group of visitors, pilgrims that had come. They had seen the glory of the temple, and most likely in the crowd during the triumphal entry, certainly had heard much about that news and what was going on. They were a Greek contingent. They came to worship at this feast, not the usual that you'd find Greeks, Gentiles that would come into Jerusalem during Passover and be part of the celebration, but it seemed like maybe in their culture and in their pagan worship, their gods didn't quite satisfy. Maybe the wisdom and the philosophies of the Greeks didn't answer all of their questions, and now they had come to the Jewish system and maybe looking for some answers within the religious system of the Jews that they had heard about. But here it seemed to have gone a little bit further. They had heard about this one in particular. His fame now had been spreading. As much as Jesus tried to keep everything quiet and discreet, it could no longer be hidden. And just days from his crucifixion, the crowds were excited, some in anger, some in joy, about this Jesus, this teacher, this miracle worker. And apparently these Greeks had heard about him and about his ministry and about his person, and possibly questioning or wondering about his deity. And so this is a man who can walk on water. This is the man who could feed the thousands. This is the man who heals the sick and casts out demons. This is the one who raises the dead. And they came to a head here in Jerusalem, and they find one of his disciples, Philip, and they approach him, and their request is this: "Sir, we would see Jesus." it's been on my heart for many months. This is our first service, and this is kind of where we kind of set a little bit of vision for the week. I'm not sure where all you've been these weeks, or at least the week before, but here's my first opportunity to kind of bring us together and where we might go this week. And God has put on my heart again, as really is, you know, the call to ministry and the call to preaching is Jesus, not the eloquence and the wisdom of man, but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, as Paul desired. And so coming these weeks and a couple months, as a matter of fact, the song that I had jotted down a long time ago to sing tonight was what we started with, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And this desire and longing to see Jesus. And so here we are for days or weeks, and some maybe for months. And there's a lot that goes on, and there's a lot of distractions. Strange to say here at camp, because this is where a lot of us have come to get away from the distractions of the world, right? This is where we kind of shut ourselves in. But if we're honest, there are plenty of distractions here. The devil did not stop at the brick wall when you drove onto these grounds. And he is as fierce here as he is in Brooklyn or in Jersey City. He is not content to let you come and seek after God and long to see Jesus and not fight for your soul. Paul says, be on your guard. Your enemy, like with his wily schemes, comes to devour, and he comes to find your weakness. I've been coming to camp my entire life, and some of my greatest battles have been fought here. And some of you have experienced that when you come here, there's a real contending for your faith, for your soul, and the devil is not content to let you come here and just be in heaven. There's a battle that'll be waged here. So, like in Jerusalem, maybe the pomp and circumstance, maybe all the glitz, maybe all the excitement, maybe the friends you haven't seen in a year, whatever it was, they were able to cut through that and say, we have a need, we must see Jesus. And so we come. Some of us, we do it on a weekly basis, or we do it several times a week, and we come into our churches, and we say we're seeking Jesus. But I've been in the church long enough. I grew up in a pastor's home. I've been pastoring for 32 years, and I've seen enough people that come into church that are not seeking after Jesus. And let's be honest, there are times I've walked into church that I have not sought after Jesus for whatever the reason. And sometimes they're very legitimate. Sometimes you're so tired, it's hard to even focus. You know, we're halfway through the first period. Brother Kenny had the good part. Now what we see, especially on this side of the room, where most of these folks are workers and they're up early and they spend hours, and some of them in the hot sun and hot kitchens, and they go through meals and meetings and ministries, and then here they come at night, and it's 9:30 and 10 and 10:30, and I see that sometimes you're just tired. Let's be honest. Sometimes you come and you're saying, I can barely keep my fight tonight is just stay awake, much less find victory in other areas of my life. If I could just stay awake tonight, that'll be victory. And so I know some of us just struggling with that. Some people have worked through illness, and your bodies are in pain, and you ache, and you suffer, and just to get through a day is a challenge. And then you come here, and your body is so distracting to your spirit, and it's hard to seek after God. Some of you come with burdens. You try to leave at home, but they follow you. And they keep you up at night. And when you're not having conversation with others that are distracting you, they flood into your thoughts again during the day. And they weigh you down, and you come here and you get on your knees and you're determined to seek God, but you're so caught up in legitimate trials and troubles that you want to leave there, but they follow you here. There are all sorts of things that distract us. And that make it hard for us to diligently pursue Jesus. And so my prayer for me, because I'm right in there with you. We have come through some real challenging weeks and months, and there are times that you just feel like I have absolutely no strength. And so we come with you and we say, God, we even need your strength to seek you. We need your desire put in our hearts, because it's not even there. And that doesn't mean we're bad. Doesn't mean you're a sinner. Doesn't mean you've backslidden. Sometimes it's just part of the struggle and part of the fight for faith. And some of us just have to come here and get before God very honestly and say, God, I need the fight. I need the fight put back into my heart, so that these days and these weeks are not wasted on just going through the motions. I don't know what your reasons are for being here. Some of you just come because it's a nice place to come, and you've come all your life, and so here you are. And you enjoy the meetings and you enjoy the fellowship, but there's really no passion in your heart. You really have no goal. You really have no agenda here. You're just kind of here. Some of you were forced to be here. Some of your parents might have said, you're going to camp and you're going to work. And so here you are. And you don't want to be here. And we've been praying for you. God would put in your heart a hunger for him. It may not be there now, but would you just open your heart and maybe let God put a hunger for himself in your heart? Some of us have been hurt. Some of us are angry. Some of us have built up walls. And we don't care if we see Jesus or not. But I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would be at work in our hearts, that would put within us the desire like these foreigners that said, we're not quite sure who this man is. We've heard stories. We've never met him. We've never experienced his healing touch. We've never experienced his power. We've never eaten from the food that he's multiplied. He's never blessed our family or our children. We've heard something enough about him that we desire to find out more. And we want to see Jesus. And he will be found of us if we will seek him with all our hearts. And he will show us and reveal to us his goodness and his glory. Can we just read in closing? We have to end. But if we could just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and this will just be our opening and closing text. And here's what the end result is. This is what my prayer is for you, for us this week. Because if we would see Jesus, He will transform us. He will do a work in us that that cannot be made up. It cannot be worked up. It is genuine and it is real, and it will affect you and it will affect the people around you. And so that's what we're longing for. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is talking about an old covenant and a new covenant and the old glory and the new glory. Beginning with verse 7, if the ministry of death carved in letters on stone came with such glory, let me give you a little bit more. The ministry of death is the law, okay? This is referring back to Moses on the mountain and the presence of God settling and the Ten Commandments given there on the tablets. And the law, as you know, you should know, the law, does it bring life or death? The law brings death. There's nothing good in the law other than to expose our guilt. And so this is the contrast now that Paul is making. He refers to this law from Moses that God gave as the ministry of death carved in letters. It came with such glory. Read that passage back in Exodus, how the glory of God came when he gave to Moses the law. And even the ministry of death had glory that the Israelites couldn't gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end. Will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? So he's taking us from the old now to the new, from the law to Christ. If there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all. Because the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. So the law had a beginning and an end, but the new in Christ has no beginning, no end. It is permanent. How much more glorious, since we have such a hope. We are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And so this is our prayer, my prayer. Would you make it your prayer? Would you pray that God would do this in your heart and life? These days, that God would so reveal himself and his glory to you that your life would be so transformed. And then would you, if you have faith enough for someone else, would you pray for the person maybe next to you or in front of you or behind you? Maybe they don't have faith for this. Maybe they've come beaten down, and maybe the burdens that they carry are so heavy and distracting. Maybe the hurt is so deep. Maybe they have walked so far away from God where there's just a deadness in their heart. Would you pray for them? Would you pray for your roommate, whoever that might be? Would you pray for your spouse? Would you pray for me, and I'll pray for you, that God would somehow reveal to us his glory, that we might see Jesus and that we might be transformed from glory to glory. Lord, with unveiled face, we come to behold Jesus. Yes. maybe some here, like Zacchaeus, are going to have to do some work so that they could get that view. They may have to muscle through. But put in their heart a determination to see you. That with Isaiah, we would see the Lord high and lifted up in his glory filling the temple. And that our lives would be transformed. Lord, let this not just be an exercise. Another year, we've come and gone. Another verse that we've memorized, another chapter that we've read, another song that we've sung, another dollar that we gave, and we have not seen Jesus. So, Lord, in the midst of the crowd, in the midst of the busyness, in the midst of the excitement, in the midst of the schedule, and in the midst of our weariness, we would see Jesus. And let the things of earth grow strangely dim. There should be a song sheet, Be Thou My Vision, on your seat or next to you, if you would take that, and we'll sing this as our closing prayer tonight. we are dismissed. Those of us who are, those of you who are not part of our staff meeting, you may leave. And others, you may stay. God bless you.